One thing that you'll notice about our team is that that's what we are. We are a team, and we support each other. And as Brother Jerry mentioned, we go through a lot, and the transforming power of Jesus Christ does not come sometimes in an instant. Sometimes it does, but I just want to tell you a little bit about Teen Challenge. I know about half of the people in this room this morning, and hello. We want to thank you. Want to thank you for your prayers, Sylvia, and I want to thank you for your prayers. About a year ago, we moved to Winnipeg. God called us, and He immediately set us into a very effective ministry position where we knew God was putting us both, each of us. And so, I want to thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your friendships and contact over that time. One of the things that immediately attracted me about Teen Challenge, and that's where I want to start this morning, is just simply the fact that Teen Challenge is not a drug rehab program, as you may have heard. Teen Challenge is a one-year discipleship program. That's what we call ourselves, and we are very, very proud and very bold about that. And for this reason, we have not allowed ourselves to stray from that, and we have not allowed ourselves to compromise that. And every church that we go to, we get a big amen for that, because we believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ cannot be compromised. Would you agree with that? And this morning, we want to remind the partners that are praying for us that this is why we exist. We exist on the prayers of believers like yourselves and of churches that count it important to support ministries like ours. Everything that we do is faith, on faith based, because we receive no government funding, because we want to be free about the gospel once again. And you'll hear this from so many guys. You will hear, we just had a graduation this last week, Thursday. And I actually want to just introduce one young man named Tristan. He graduated just this last Thursday. He's joining us as a guest this week. A mighty man of God, and I'm proud of you, Tristan. And we heard testimonies. We graduated four men. And we have a few graduations every year. And one of the testimonies, I remember him saying, I tried everything. I tried the two-week program. I tried the three-week program. I tried the 10-month program. I tried the five-step, 12-step, 100-step. You know what I mean, right? And nothing worked till I met Jesus Christ at Teen Challenge. We don't think Teen Challenge is the answer. We think Jesus Christ is the answer. And so that's why we're bold about that. But because of that, we depend on people to support us. And so I say that without shame this morning, because it's not my work. It's not our work. It's God's work in the lives of about 30 men right now in Central Park, downtown Winnipeg. And so I ask you to keep praying for us. I ask you to keep thinking of us in your giving, and thinking of us in as you pray for us. First and foremost, prayer. And so we want to thank you that you've given us this invitation this morning. A couple of things I just want to just very briefly highlight. I brought two pictures with me this morning. I want you to show that house picture. It's about half a year ago now. God was putting on the heart of our director, Steve Paulson. Some of you may have met him. And he was putting on his heart the fact that we in Teen Challenge of Central Canada, we have four locations. We have a Thunder Bay Center. We have a Winnipeg Center, of course. We have a Brandon Center. And we have a center up near Flin Flon in Denaire Beach. And God was putting on his heart just the fact that all of our centers were men's centers, and he looked to the east, and Toronto was the nearest Teen Challenge Women's Center. We looked to the west, and somewhere in BC was the nearest Teen Challenge Women's Center. That didn't add up, right? We know that addictions are an issue that face every gender, both, you know what I mean, right? And so we looked at this, and God was really starting to put on our heart, we have to do something about this. And so we owned a property that was run as a men's center, and it actually, years back, it used to be the summer house of the lieutenant governor or something like that of Manitoba, and we were able to obtain it, and God was really putting his hand on this, and as you see with the words, I just wanted to let you know we were pleased that this last January we opened up the Teen Challenge Brandon Women's Center, and we took all the guys that were living there and we moved them to Winnipeg and other centers, and that is just now a Teen Challenge Women's Center. And I have a recent photo that I just want you to keep in your prayers. This is a recent photo of our women at the Women's Center in Brandon, and we're so proud. And we're so pleased with the work that God is doing in Brandon. I think just this week, I think yesterday or the day before, Kim Lowe's, who is in the front, second to the right, and Deneen Goulet, she is to the far left, the two in the front there, they are the directors for the center. And just 2 days ago, Kim Lowe's, she went to prison, and she picked up, I think, the sixth student for the Brandon Teen Challenge Women's Center. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting? Because we know that, yeah, we know that. We know that God's work is across all nations. We know that God's work is across the genders, and we're very excited to be able to offer this. And this evening, when you go to bed, there's going to be 25,000 men and women across the world that are going to sleep in a Teen Challenge bed. And many of you know about the work of Brother David Wilkerson, of course, the cross and the switchblade, right? And that is how our work started about, I think it was 55 years ago, something like that. And God was putting that on his heart, that this was going to be a work that was going to change lives through the power of Jesus Christ. And so there's about 1,100 centers around the world in about 92 countries right now. And we're just honored to be a little part of that, right, guys? And so as you continue to hear from us this morning, I want you to remember us in prayer. And if you're in a situation where you can support us, feel free to meet one of the guys in the back later on, and they can give you some arrangements for that. We also have opportunities. We're looking for people that might want to sponsor one of our students every month, and just receive prayer letters from different students every month, just so you can put on your fridge and just be able to pray for them very specifically. So those are just some of the things. I want this to be about ministry this morning, but I just wanted to tell you a few things about Teen Challenge of Central Canada. Wow, I think we've been blessed already tonight, haven't we, or this morning. Want to just get a little bit into the word this morning. It won't be too long. I've been promised I have till 10 after. Is that right? Is that a flexible Mennonite 10 after, or is that... Just get right into Luke chapter 19 this morning. Luke chapter 19, I want to tell you, and you've heard the story. Can I just use this morning? Is that all right? I'll just move this off a little bit. Is that all right? Thank you, Phil. It's a story that we've grown up with, and I remember reading this story so many times, and it's a fascinating story, and it's an amusing story. It's the story of Zacchaeus. Now, we all know about him, right? And we know a couple of things about him. What's one word that we think about him? He was short. What was another thing that we heard about him? He was rich. We'll get into that. He was crooked rich, right? I want to tell you another word about Zacchaeus this morning. I want to introduce Zacchaeus as a desperate man this morning. And a man that met another man, and he was never the same again. And that's a story that you've been hearing many times already this morning. But in Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 1, I'm just going to read through part of that story. It says, Jesus entered Jericho, and he was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead, and he climbed into a sycamore fig tree to see him. Since Jesus was coming that way, reading NIV this morning. Verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and he welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and they began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Listen, you have heard stories of lost this morning. You have heard stories of no direction. You have heard stories about people and men that were desperate. And I introduced Zacchaeus as a desperate man to you this morning. We know about tax collectors, right? We know that, you know, I found out some things a while back about tax collectors. And of course, we know that the tax collectors, they worked for the Roman government, right? And the tax collectors were basically there to do the Romans' work for them. And they were there to collect money. And of course, Rome, because they had the power of Rome, the superpower of Rome behind them, they could do whatever they wanted with that, right? And so they could get their little handling fee, right? How many of you like handling fees in this room this morning? You know, I go to a Gold Eyes game with my wife, and it says that the tickets are $5, and all of a sudden I'm paying $10 a ticket because of all these fees, right? You know what I mean, or a Jets game, right? And handling fees. But that's what Zacchaeus, that's what made him rich. It was the handling fees. All Rome cared about was that they got their money. And so that's the kind of guy that Zacchaeus was. And he's going along and he's living his life. And one day he comes face to face with Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the man everybody had heard about and some had even met. Zac the cheat, that's what I call him. And Jesus the Savior. What a meeting, huh? What a meeting. But Jesus saw something in this corrupt government employee that attracted him. And he sees something this morning in you that attracts him to you. And he's asking you to find yourself attracted to him. Because the same thing that attracted Jesus to Zacchaeus was the thing that Zacchaeus found himself attracted to Jesus about. And that was the fact that he could meet his desperation. I didn't know if I was going to say this story this morning. My dad is here this morning. Happy Father's Day, Dad. He's from Schoenvaes. Anybody know where Schoenvaes is? I tell the guys where I'm from, where I grew up, and you know, they don't understand things like villages and stuff. So what I'll do is I'll say to them, "Well, do you know where Winkler is?" And they're like, "Yeah, I've heard of Winkler." Well, I'm 3 villages south and about 2 villages east, or you know, something like that. That's how we measure it, right? We measure it by villages because Sumfeld is somewhere, you know, south of Winkler, right? Schoenfeld, Blumenfeld, Hochfeld. Yeah, anyway, you know what I mean, right? And so you're all from Morton, or, you know, well, some of you are, right? when my wife and I, we got married, and I didn't know if I would tell this story because my dad always reminds me about this story. We did the garage sale thing. Who's done garage sale things when they first get married? That's what covers your house, right? That's what furnishes your house. That's what does everything for your house, right? And one day we found this couch, and I remember it was nothing special, like nothing special. It was $5, and that was our price range, so we bought it. And it was that simple. And I remember we it was nothing to look at. It was nothing fancy, nothing special, except that it was $5. And that's what attracted us to it. And so it served our place for probably about 4 or 5 years. And I remember it was a blessing to us. We were able to host people. We were able to do all sorts of things. And there was lots of rips in the cushions. So, you know, when you have one of those kind of couches, Dennis and Colleen, you remember that couch. I just thought of that just now. They were in our Bible study group back then. Okay. Don't say anything about it. I'll do the talking, okay, Dennis? All right, so it was one of those that had all sorts of rips in it, right? And so what you do is you position the cushions on the couch so that the least amount of rips are showing, right? And so you upside down, backwards, in, you know, tucked in, whatever, just so it looks the very best. But the truth is, you still couldn't hide how terrible that couch was. And I remember one day we had moved to Brandon, and I remember we were going to have a garage sale, and we decided it was time for the couch to go. And instead of paying the money to go to the dump and actually bring it there, we thought, you know what? Maybe someone will come and pick it up. We'll just try to sell it. And so it was a $5 couch, and we thought to make it a little bit more attractive, we actually asked $10 for it because we thought we're going to double our money. Plus, we're going to make it look a little bit better because, you know, if it's a dollar or two, it doesn't sound so good, right? So $10 for the couch, and this lady comes along, and she says, "I want to buy this couch." And she was an elderly lady, and to be honest with you, it didn't look as though she needed this, like, that she would fit with a coach like this. You know, it was an old coach and it was a terrible coach, but it was still together. And I will never forget, as long as I live, what happened next. She, because of her vehicle situation, she said, "Can I pay you a little bit to go have it delivered somewhere?" And we said, "Well, of course." So she gave us $10 more. So $20 now we had for this coach. And I remember we got this address, and we had a friend with his truck. And we went and delivered it, and she gave us this address. You know what the address was? An upholstery shop. And I can't explain that. And so we started unloading it. And I remember speaking to the man, and she had already obviously spoken with the upholsterer. And she had arranged to pay this man $800 to have this coach redone. And I'm not, why would I make this up? I can't make this up, right? It was the most incredible thing that has happened in our furniture history. $800 she paid for our $5 couch. And I remember thinking about that and puzzling with that. And I remember thinking, why in the world would she pay $800 for that useless couch? And there was only one word that came to my mind. And that was, well, one statement, and that was the fact that she saw the value in it. Apparently, we had been sitting on a priceless Victorian-style couch. I'm serious, Dennis. It's crazy, I know, but... And if she would invest this money in it, it was worth so much more yet. And we could not believe it. We couldn't understand it. For the whole time that we owned this couch, we had been sitting on a $5 couch. And she decided to make it into a thousands of dollar couch because she saw the value in it. Listen, I'm not telling you this for no reason. Listen, even if you had the faintest clue, you would still not even come close to knowing how valuable you are to Jesus Christ. You are that coach. I am that coach. Darren, you are that coach. And Jesus, in his infinite mercy and wisdom, he decided that somehow I was worth the price, the big price to pay, to become valuable and to become priceless. We are those couches. And we're sitting there in our lives and we're desperate. Don't think that addiction affects just 8 guys that are sitting in front of you this morning. We are all affected by addiction. We are addicted to stuff, right? We are addicted to money. We are addicted to self-image. We are addicted to pornography. We are addicted to many things. And we all stand in front of Almighty God, who has the money, who has the riches. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And we stand in front of him and our faces are in our hands because we're so ashamed. Right, Jerry? We're so ashamed. And then we meet him face to face. And I've seen Jerry after he met Jesus, and I've seen him march towards his mom and the forgiveness and the blessing and the acceptance that he received as a result of accepting Jesus and going back to his family and saying, "I got to make some stuff right." That's what Jesus does. Teen Challenge can't do that. That's what Jesus Christ is in the business of doing. Not a business, you know what I mean. That's what he does. And this morning, as old coaches, and some of you have met Jesus, probably many of you, you are no longer a useless piece of furniture. And I want to ask you this morning, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as that useless piece of furniture, or do you see yourself as priceless? That's not being arrogant, by the way. That's seeing yourself for who you are in Jesus Christ. That's seeing who God has made you, not who you were, but who you are and who you will be. This morning, I want to remind you of that. These guys are, is it okay if they whoop, whoop once in a while when I'm preaching? Because half the time I'm preaching for them because I like to, when I prepare messages, I like to think of them when I'm preaching because that's what I do, right? Jesus Christ is the difference maker. And we're standing here, we're sitting there on our knees with our hands in our face, so utterly ashamed. And he kind of comes up to us and he slowly peels our hands from our faces and he lifts up our chin to look into his eyes. And he says, I must come to your house today. Just like Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus didn't know what hit him, right? All he knew was that he was short and he needed to go up in a tree, but Jesus knew that he was there. In the eyes of the world, I know, because every place we go to, I know that there's many people in this room that do not feel like an $800 couch. I know that. Or whatever it ended up being worth, maybe $2,000, I don't know. I know that. Let me remind you this morning of how valuable you are. Let me remind you this morning of the price that was paid to have you in the family. You saw a bunch of guys this morning that are in the family. I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. I've been washed in the blood. You remember that old song? Been cleansed in the fountain, however it goes. Listen, there wasn't a reason in the world that Jesus Christ would have had to want us to come into his family, except for the fact that he had made us in his image. Genesis 1, guys, what does it say? It says, God created man in his image. These guys memorize scripture. That's what's inspired me to get back into memory. I'm not young anymore. I'm not old. I'm not young, you know. But that doesn't mean I stopped memorizing scripture. These guys have inspired me. I'm back into memorizing chapters now. I went go to my Aunt Sarah. Some of you know her. And I said, listen, Aunt Sarah, I'm memorizing scripture again. And she said, praise the Lord. And I think to myself, can't we all learn something from Teen Challenge this morning? Zacchaeus was a changed person. Darren Lekuman is a changed person. Is he going to have some bumps? Yeah. Do you have some bumps? Yeah. Is he going to have some difficulties? Do we have some difficulties? Of course. But he's a changed person. And so, Glen Cross Church, this morning, I challenge you to remember Darren. I challenge you to support him. I challenge you, if he comes to you and he says, listen, this is what I'm struggling with, you can say, every day I'm going to pray for you, Darren, and I'm not going to give up till it happens. Because we see prayer answered. We see prayer answered every day. Ken and Laura, I always think of you when I think of Darren. Every time we go out and I see Darren testifying and ministering every week, we're somewhere. Next weekend, we're going to be in Sioux Lookout, Ontario. It's near Dryden. And Darren is going to be up in Sioux Lookout next week, and he's going to be testifying the same thing that he did to you this morning, that Jesus Christ is the difference. And we're going to be going somewhere else the week after that because people, it's not us. It's not what we do. We're imperfect musicians, right? But that's okay. It doesn't matter. We do it because it's here. And that's what matters this morning. And so this morning, I want to just close. And I want to ask you something this morning. A lot of you in this room have met Jesus Christ. A lot of you in this room know the difference that he makes. But first and foremost, if you haven't met him before, you need to meet him. You need to see him and come face to face with him and make things right with him and with his Father, God Almighty. You know, we don't know how long we're going to live. We don't know when. Psalm 139 says, all of my days were numbered before I even was born. That's a chapter I just memorized, guys. Psalm 139. But it says that all my days were numbered. We have no idea. But listen, God does tell us that there are two destinations for eternity. There's not three. And there's not four, and Winnipeg isn't one of them. You know, it's heaven or hell. And he's given us a choice. It's called the age of grace right now. There were so many reasons Zacchaeus had that he wouldn't have, so many reasons he had that he wouldn't have needed to accept Jesus because in the eyes of the world, he had it made. He may not have had any friends, but he had a lot of dough, right? And nowadays, the world perceives that that's what's going to make it for you. Well, let me tell you, he was still a desperate man. He still wanted to see Jesus Christ. He still wanted to meet Jesus Christ. And so he took the risk of going in through among all his enemies and climbing a tree to see him. I hope that you're reminded this morning that Jesus Christ is for everyone. But I hope that you're also reminded this morning that he makes a difference. And he has to make a difference in your life, because if you have him in your heart, he has to make a difference. Because if he doesn't make a difference, then your life is not being lived to its fullest. If the people around you, if your next door neighbor or the person that welds in the next station at the factory or whatever, if those people cannot see the difference that Jesus makes in your life, then your life is not being lived to its purpose right now. In closing, let me just say this. We're a bunch of guys, men and women, in Teen Challenge of Central Canada, that we saw, like Zacchaeus, we saw Jesus Christ as too good of an opportunity to pass up. And too good of a gift to walk away from. This morning, accept the gift and let it make a difference in your life. The love of God. Let me close with these words that I'm sure you know. And it still chills me every time I hear them. The love of God is greater far than pen or tongue can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. You mind if I pray with Glenn Cross this morning? Let's just bow our heads this morning. Close your eyes. If you don't know Jesus Christ and you've never met him, what are you waiting for? If you have that desperation in your heart, the desperation of Zacchaeus this morning, there's a bunch of guys with black t-shirts that are trained and they know about leading people to Christ. Come on forward. There's going to be a couple of people back here that are going to, up front here that are going to be wanting to pray with you. Maybe encourage. Everywhere where we go, we have people that have situations. You know, they will come to us and they will say, Pastor Terry, my brother. Terry, my sister, my father. And people that are affected by addictions, substance addictions. Some people are affected by substance, by things. But this morning, come forward if you want some prayer from one of our guys. Father, the price was so big. You are the difference maker. And we thank you for that this morning. Jesus, we thank you so much for your grace. God, I pray for anybody in this room right now where they can hear God's voice. They can hear Jesus' voice saying to them, I must come to your house today. I pray that it would be simple. I pray that it would be a straightforward response. And that response would be yes, yes, yes. And so God, I just pray for a blessing on Glen Cross Church this morning. Thank you for the men and women of God that are in this room this morning and maybe not here this morning. I pray that you would bless them as a church. I pray that you would make their growth fruitful, Father. I pray that it would be for your glory and not for their own, God. I pray that people that need to hear about you would continue to hear about you through the ministries of Glen Cross. And I pray that and I thank you that they believe in the ministry of Teen Challenge. Thank you so much, God. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.